He's kind of like the Joe Rogan of the hospitality industry right now.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Slick Talk, the Hospitality Podcast. I'm excited because we are seeing the rise of professionalism in our vacation rental industry. Hosts are now evolving to property managers, and property managers are now professionalizing in how they operate and systemize their business. Just take this episode for example. You're going to hear from Andrew Kitchell, the CEO of Wheelhouse, and how they're using their platform and tools in order to make this all happen and available for everyone in our industry. You can also take a look for Hostfully, for example. They've created a platform for hosts and managers and owners all alike to centralize their operations, their inboxes, their calendars, as well as connect to all the tools and resources they need in order to continue to move forward as we recover from COVID-19 and the year that we called 2020. In the show notes below this episode, you can actually see links to both Hostfully and Wheelhouse that I have set up just for you, my listeners of Slick Talk, the Hospitality Podcast, to go get benefits and discounts for these products and services. Now, if you have any questions, you're more than welcome to reach out, but right below in the show notes are links directly to these companies. I hope you guys enjoy this episode and continue to move forward and be a part of the movement and the rise in professionalism in hospitality.
In the short-term rental space, you are competing against, if you're a two-bedroom, you might be competing against one-bedroom and four-bedrooms. We need to pace you against all of those. And again, since the consumer looks different in the short-term rental space, people buying for a particular, you know, that adventure they had in mind, we need to know who's buying your place and therefore, like, how does your comp set shift over a week or over a year? So there's almost a lot more complexity to short-term rental management. What I like to say is 2021 is the year that hotels start to learn revenue management from short-term rentals as opposed to vice versa.
Welcome to Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast where we discuss all things hospitality, hotels, and business. You can find us online at slicktalkthepodcast.com and on every podcast listening platform.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Slick Talk, the Hospitality Podcast. Once again, I'm your host, the one and only Will Slickers, but today I have the one and only Andrew Kitchell, who is the CEO and founder of Wheelhouse, plus many, many other tech and hospitality businesses in the hospitality industry, obviously, because we're a hospitality podcast. So, Andrew, my friend, we've been talking for a little bit. You get me all energized. You get me all amped up. Thanks for being on the show and welcome to Slick Talk.
Thanks so much. Super excited to be here. We've got a lot. I know we've kind of talked about the many things we can cover today. Excited to dive into all aspects of our rapidly evolving hospitality space. Ready when you are.
Yeah, let's do it, my man. So let's just, we usually cut the small talk out of the podcast and we just jump into who's Andrew? What is your background? What's your origin? That's why I really love to start, because then it just opens up like a little beautiful flower and we get to discuss so many topics. So let's find out, what is the origin of Andrew Kitchell?
Sure. Well, specifically within hospitality, let's just start there, give you all the short and sweet. So I would say I was very lucky to come into the hospitality space right when this crazy notion called air bed and breakfast was kicking off. And this is back in the day when it wasn't called Airbnb.com yet, right? It was air bed and breakfast. And you were still expected to serve breakfast to any guest who came and stayed at your home. And I literally started leveraging that platform. I was in San Francisco. I lived with a group of folks and I actually paid for my first business by renting out my room on Airbnb Breakfast. And it was a type of way where I could reduce rent. I could have a little bit of extra cash for travel. And I had this very funny thing where people would show up at my door and I'd welcome them into my room. And I'd say, great, well, I'll be down on the couch if you need anything. And it was this kind of golden era of Airbnb Breakfast. And, you know, since we were an early host, I was an early host in San Francisco. I got kind of the privilege also of hosting Brian Chesky. and hosting him for a couple of nights and having CBS News show up at our door and say, so what the heck are you doing here? You're sharing your room with a stranger. Why would you do that? So that was 11 years ago. And ever since then, I've been hooked on the category. And I think I've been hooked on the category for two main reasons. One is the opportunity that we all have in hospitality to meet so many amazing people, right? That has to be part of the drive in this business is how many great people do you get to work with? Do you get to meet, et cetera? That's part one.
Yeah.
If you like meeting people, hard to think of a better spot to be, right? Part two is really I've seen Airbnb for a long time as the greatest unlock of creativity in the history of hospitality. And by Airbnb, I'm really going to use it to say the short-term rental space writ large. But it's the notion that an individual now with a camera and a personal brand can set up a business that attracts others. And when the barrier to creating a hospitality brand dropped, as it did with the rise of Vrbo, Airbnb, Booking, others, it was kind of this great unlock that I said, well, there's going to be a long, I kind of believed in the long evolution of the space. I still think we're in the second or third inning. I still think professionalization of the space is going to come. But it's just this, it's a category that I thought was massive, misunderstood, lowered the barrier for so many more of us to play in the game. And I've just been fascinated by it ever since. That was 11 years ago to now, building multiple businesses in the category along the way.
Well, speaking of multiple businesses, what was the first one that hosting your room on Airbed and Breakfast? What was that? Give me some details. I'm curious. You got the entrepreneurial wheel spinning.
Sure. So I decided to launch a publishing company right as the iPhone was hitting. And actually the publishing company was specifically designed. It was a language guide company called 30 Words. And it was designed to help people start conversations with those they met when they traveled abroad. And it was an idea I had from teaching abroad, kind of this notion that you really don't need that many words to be able to start connecting with those you meet. And the magic of travel is unlocking the kind of, at least a big part of travel for me is unlocking connections with those who live in the spaces to which you visit. So if you want to go even back to that, my love of being in and around kind of connecting people to place more specifically, has been with me kind of, you know, since I started walking, but certainly since I started my professional career. That first business, publishing business, we ended up partnering with the largest travel distributor in the world, started working with other kind of Silicon Valley startups and got some new notions in my head of what a business could be.
That's really interesting. A publishing company to start it all off.
Oh yeah.
Well, it sounds like you're like every business that you started, and specifically in hospitality, is led into that original, like, deep essence and connection for people. Like, you literally take that host experience of like showcasing your favorite coffee shop or like your favorite like rock climbing wall or maybe a nice waterfall to go to on a nice spring day or something. Like, you really take that overall destination creation aspect of it into a whole new level. And I think that's really unique and really cool, and why I think we connected really well, because that's something that from me, what I experienced in the hotel space, but then carried over when I started getting into vacation rentals. And I think as we, like you said, professionalize a little bit more, it gets like that deepness essence of being the guide, as our friend David from Hostfully would say, is you are that guide. And so yeah. I think it's pretty rock solid.
Yeah. One fun last story there, Will. So my first real job out of college was actually a bike and kayak guide. And I worked in the San Juan Islands, which is up, you know it well, right? Both of our homeland, the Northwest. And it was really fun because we would go for these kind of 4 to 5 day kayak trips out to islands, and you'd be taking people camping. You'd be seeing these amazing places, killer whales. Those were always the highs. But the reality was you were also hosting these people who were usually a little bit intimidated. And they might have been saving up. I had people who were saving up for a decade to be able to take this trip.
Wow.
And therefore, the goal as the guide was, yes, to make everyone feel comfortable and loved, but to give them an experience that they could never forget. Because if they had saved up their money for any amount of time, it was our duty to take care of them and like really unlock the magic that is the Pacific Northwest or the place you are. So even prior to starting publishing companies, I do agree that being that guide, being that host is a really special place to be and is the foundation of all hospitality.
No, I love that. I think that's just going to be the statement of the episode right there.
Great.
No, my man. So let's, I really want to touch into this because you're in a specific segment of hospitality that is one, tech, two, revenue management. And I am a geek for revenue management. I love this stuff. I actually read articles and blogs and podcasts on complete revenue management side spin-offs on my free time. Like this is where I love. And so I've been loving to see Wheelhouse. So I want you to introduce what Wheelhouse is to the audience. Maybe break it down, you know, the goal and mission. You started companies in this space with publishing to now Wheelhouse, and fill us in, like, what was the overall origin of Wheelhouse? Why did that idea spin off to you, and why did you find it so important to create?
Yeah. So really great question. So fellow revenue geek, revenue management geek here too, right? Like it's one of those things where, especially in the short-term rental space, it's almost like an infinitely deep and interesting category, right? How challenging is it to try to translate demand signals from all these various sources into an understanding of what and how you should kind of price your supply on any given day? Mm-hmm. So Wheelhouse, yes, is a revenue management platform specifically targeting short-term rental professionals and portfolios. And we have we launched Wheelhouse Pro as of this morning. Mm-hmm. Well, I know we're going to talk a little bit more about that, but what that really did was it added, Wheelhouse for 6 years has had a dynamic pricing tool that was very good at using data to inform your pricing strategy. And what we added to that with today's launch is market reports are live. So the ability to dive deeply into any market and understand travel trends and how they're evolving, something that's particularly important during COVID, mm-hmm. as well as a booking score tool to basically help people understand every single booking they come in obviously impacts their expected revenue. Yeah. And especially, you know, in the short-term rental space where you usually have a single home, you can only sell that home once for a particular day. You want to make sure you get the right booking. And then thirdly, the thing that we pushed into beta today is benchmarking and competitive sets. So basically with Wheelhouse now, you have a holistic revenue management platform. It's designed to give people everything from the data to the controls so that they can kind of look at the data, look at their market and comp set evolving every single day to set their own strategy and to adjust it and kind of fine tune it where they see fit, all in the name of maximizing revenue and having basically earning more revenue, saving more time, scaling more effectively. That is the goal of Wheelhouse's revenue management platform.
So how did this come about? Like what made you say, you know what, this is where I need to go?
Yeah, a little bit of right place, accidental discovery, in the sense that I got brought in by a group of investors 7 years ago to run a company called Beyond Stays. Mm-hmm. And Beyond Stays was actually a very early version of a professional short-term rental management company in an urban area. Right. Yeah. Of course, there've been plenty of ownership groups who've done an amazing job of this in vacation destinations for years, but Beyond Stays, along with Pillow back, you know, 7-8 years ago, these were the teams that were looking at kind of early versions of how could you take a elevated hospitality model, mm-hmm. apply it specifically to urban Airbnb inventory and increase your revenue, kind of build a bigger and better business. And, after running the company for about 3 months, we were literally updating prices by hand for 35 listings in San Francisco. And a friend and I, as a weekend hack project, built what was probably the first automatic updater of Airbnb. Mm. Literally, we just sat in a coffee shop. I talked his ear off and he wrote all the code, right? still a friend to this day I've worked with many, many times.
Great partnerships usually start out.
Absolutely. I'm the talker, he's the builder, yeah. And truly, you know, friend for life, individual who has helped on kind of build numerous instances of cool technology. We can talk more about that as we go. But we kind of built that first for ourselves as an operating company and then said, you know, we like this. Why don't we just share it with everyone? And we put it on Product Hunt and it kind of blew up. That was first as Beyond Pricing. What Wheelhouse has done and kind of Wheelhouse plus Lyric, which is kind of the larger operating co. What we basically did is we said we wanted to take a deeper dive into the data science and really how do you operationalize revenue management? Because pricing is really hard. We know, and the premise of both of all pricing tools in our space, the basic premise is hosts and owners lack the time, skills, data, sometimes the permission, and sometimes the risk profile to be able to price their inventory accurately. Right? Time, skills, and data are the hardest things, right? Revenue management is a super hard skill. Having access to all the data you would need to be able to price your home effectively, having time to update it. That's why we developed software to help people understand how they could be pricing on any given day, right? So all the software in the space aims to address that. And what I think Wheelhouse has done a particularly good job of is saying, okay, well, that's a great premise to have. Now, how do you A/B test and how do you run really rigorous control studies? How do you do deep data science that actually translates this massive number of signals or kind of massive amount of noise really into a clear signal of how every single home should be priced on every single day? It's really hard. It's really fun, but yeah, truly got started in it around the excitement that yes, this is a really difficult problem. I thought we could help all the individual entrepreneurs who are building their own business. It's a really, as an entrepreneur, whenever you see a problem that has kind of the narrative around it is probably incorrect. You know, at the time when we started, short-term rentals were still the alternative inventory space.
Yep.
I thought that was the incorrect narrative. So if you see an incorrect narrative and you have a group of people, and luckily in San Francisco, we have a kind of a plethora of engineering and data science talent. If you have folks who can contribute positively to wealth creation for others, there's a really cool chance to build a business.
Well, I love that. And it just, it takes the old version of a weekly rate and a weekend rate, or a high peak season rate and a low peak season rate, kind of just throws that idea out the door, because we've all learned, specifically through COVID, that we cannot keep leaving money on the table. And I love that you guys are using this as a way to, for other entrepreneurs, because I find hospitality as a whole, whether you're hotels, restaurants, vacation rentals, etc., they're very entrepreneurial, like
absolutely
some amazing people. But before we get into my question that I have on Wheelhouse, I need two things from you, my friend. Can we break down what benchmarking and CompSet is for audience members maybe that are still learning a little bit more about this as they're getting into the space, whether it's hotels or vacation rentals? What does that term mean and why do we use it?
Sure. So the way I like to describe this is, so benchmarking and CompSets very specifically are looking at usually nearby similar properties and understanding how they're doing, usually at the very basic level from a revenue perspective, to put your performance in perspective, right? So what I always like to say is, in hospitality, everything is relative. And that means if you told me what your home or your property made, let's just say, let's take a single family home, and let's say you made $5,000 last month. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know anything more than you do about how you did unless I know other data points. So for example, well, what did you make the month before? What did you make the year before, same month? What did the other, let's say you're a three bedroom, what did the other three bedrooms near you do? What were you expected to make versus what you actually made? How was that revenue derived from ADR or from nightly rates versus occupancy? So a comp set and benchmarking tool is the same thing, but really it is a means to identify the right inventory near you, for which when other people are shopping, they're either choosing your home or one of these many other homes. And if they select yours or they select others, we can translate all those different booking patterns into an understanding of relatively how are you doing. And once we know if you're outperforming your comp set or underperforming your comp set, well, now we know what changes to start making about your business.
I love that. That was like one of the most nice, easily explained ways to describe benchmarking and comp set. And I love that, like specifically just because I think we have so many acronyms in the industry. We have so many definitions and certain words that we use, like talking to anybody who's getting into it, this is all like, you feel like you're talking to a wall because this is so new. And so I think this is like the area of hospitality that there's so many variables that can give you such a different result. One little tweak in your listing or in your pricing or in your cleaning fee or in this can guarantee or shift a certain revenue number or occupancy or lack of occupancy. And like you said, controlling.
Yeah. Well, I like what you said there, Will, because I've worked in this space for 7 years and I know that 2021 is going to look a lot different.
Oh yeah.
And even for us, right? I think the whole revenue management space is still too much of a black box. There's still too much jargon. Mm. And what that's prevented people from doing, and I have to take as much blame for this as anyone, right? What that has prevented people from doing is taking advantage of something that actually works to drive positive business outcomes. Mm-hmm. So definitely our goal this year in either communication or educational content we're producing is to show people that like revenue management, it's actually quite accessible. And as soon as you get that first win from adjusting your pricing strategy, that first booking for more than you thought, or that first month where you doubled your revenue, you're hooked, right? So what we like to say right now, a couple things. One is, as soon as you list a property online, you are actually doing revenue management. Whether you know it or not, you have set a price. And whether you get the same price every single night of the year, whether you have a high and low season rate, or whether you're using an automated pricing tool like Wheelhouse to look at every single market demand signal, update prices every single day in an automatic fashion, and maximize revenue, it's actually about the same level of difficulty as setting like a basic strategy as the most advanced data-driven strategy. That's the power of software. Right? Doesn't mean you should set it and forget it. You definitely need your hands on it. That's really part one, right? But part two is there's some really basic pieces to revenue management. For example, there are really only three demand trends in every single market that people need to understand. And once you know those, it's remarkable how fast we've seen people go from, again, looking at data, kind of revenue management, saying, wow, there's a lot of noise. What do I do here? To, again, deciphering that pattern. So when you log onto a Wheelhouse, you see the pattern in the bookings, you see the pattern in the performance of your portfolio, and you know what to quickly do. It's minutes of work once you know how to do it.
I love that. And you just described something that like literally took me to a flashback of my first revenue management meeting where I was like, you know, just sitting there to listen in, and I gave a little thing off of a pattern that I saw, which I think is the key word that you're talking about. And when you're doing revenue management, is seeing the patterns, not having the data there, but deciphering out the noise and figuring out what the pattern actually is when it comes to pace and actual booking and confirmed revenue on the books. And that for me is when it got really exciting, because we implemented new things. Then we saw the next report next week. Oh my gosh, we crushed it. And all the changes that we made were pretty much dead on. And so it just gave me a cool flashback. Loved it. I think it's why we geek out so much about this stuff, because it's such a high, it's such an exciting time. And like you said, the moment you're like, oh, I think I'm going to list my property on Airbnb or Vrbo, or even maybe get into boutique hotels, you are now doing revenue management. And there's a lot that goes into it, and we don't see it that way, but it does. There's a lot of steps that get into it that you're actually basically becoming a revenue manager all in all.
Correct.
Yeah,
but and I want to get, you can either choose to do revenue management well.
Yeah.
But we need to remember the choice to not do revenue management well is that we're also making a decision. Yeah. So like, I just, it's fun to see people gain confidence in their ability to really drive more revenue from their property. It's like, it's a really fun unlock.
100%. And then I think it unlocks, I love that you just said that, unlocks the, ability for brand building. I think when you give that confidence boost and you start to say, okay, we're actually making money, we can actually create a real brand and story with this. Mm-hmm. Not obviously saying, hey, we made this much dollars this month, but you can really go into the say, okay, how can we make this more for us? Like, how can we get really creative with this and put a cool story or a logo or a website and all this other stuff together and create something that isn't just a property on a booking site. It's literally now become part of your company, your business, your look, your style, it becomes sexy all in all. In my head, revenue management is sexy. It becomes
professional.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That too. I wanted to get into the discussion of dynamic pricing because I think this is a word, I wouldn't say it gets thrown around a lot, but it's very very common. If we're in a Clubhouse room, or if we're on LinkedIn, or if we're on Facebook or Instagram, like at least us hospitality people, we're seeing dynamic pricing usually in a conversation somewhere. And so how often do you get asked about how accurate data or how the data could be accurate with dynamic pricing? How do you guys know? Like, how is this, what is dynamic pricing in the sense of accuracy?
Yeah. So dynamic pricing specifically, or the way I think about it, is how do you translate demand signals into accurate pricing forecasts for
anyone? And what would you consider demand signals?
Demand signals are other rooms that are booking. It's hotel, it's pricing signal and booking signal, put most simply. Right. So when you're trying to forecast demand, the first thing you look at is price, right? And a price in any market or any commodity is a signal of what the market thinks something is or will be worth, right? So if you think about a stock, people will pump up a stock price because they think it is going to be worth more in the future. And similarly, when hotels, flights, and others put prices on their properties, that's the price they are expecting to get. So one signal that you always look for when you're kind of trying to calculate demand is a pricing signal. So how are other things priced in your market? The second really important signal, put most simply, is booking patterns. So once prices are listed on the market, who's booking what, where, and when? In the short-term rental space, one of the fun things is like, okay, well, you get to look at how are seven, you know, how are seven bedroom places in Tahoe booking on a particular month, on a particular day, right? Mm-hmm. You can slice the inventory by in so many fun ways to pick apart markets and see what's actually booking. And what I always like to say, what's very interesting about the short-term rental space, and one of the reasons it's hard to price, is because let's say you have a two bedroom and you're next door to another two bedroom with a pool. Mm-hmm. Well, what's the pool worth?
Yeah.
And the answer, there is no singular answer. The answer is, well, is it the 4th of July or July 4th? Are there three pools near you or 300? Is there a photo of your pool in the first two photos or is it the last one? And is that pool clean? And has someone written a review? We love playing in your pool, whatever it is, right? So you can see that everything from in the short-term rental space, why dynamic pricing is hard, and we'll get to the data that helps unlock it in a second here. But the reason pricing in the short-term rental space is hard is every single property is unique.
Yep.
We're now in the game of how do we take not only a home, but all the different attributes, porch, pool, patio, Wi-Fi, parking, dog policy, cancellation policy, et cetera, damage deposit. How do we take all of those things, look at booking patterns against them, and translate that into an effective understanding of your unique property?
Yeah. 100%. Right?
And in the short-term rental space, the other thing that's a little different than the hotel space, last thing again, and then we'll get into the data, is in the short-term rental space, what I always encourage people to know is we are in the business of selling 24 photos. Hmm. Now, if you took a hotel room, it'd be kind of hard to take 24 photos that would sell of a hotel room. People don't really shop that way. But when consumers are shopping for short-term rental offerings, they are looking through your photos and they are telling themselves a story of what their trip is going to be. Now you need to think about the consumer that you're targeting, because that consumer might be a family. It might be a business traveler. It might be, you know, whoever it is, it might be a Dallas Cowboys fan, right? So whatever story you're trying to craft for the audience that you're trying to connect with, you do that through photos. Sure, you can have nice write-ups, but the photos are gonna tell a story, right? So you're in the business of selling 24 photos. And the reason that matters is because even seasonally, people are shopping for things. Meaning when people are looking at your place in the summer, they want to see a pool. Mm-hmm. And when they're looking in the winter, they want to see a fireplace or a hot tub or a warm cup of coffee, right? Mm-hmm. So literally in the short-term rental space, this is what we just described in the first part of this answer, is really the plethora of data points you have to look at. Pricing signal, demand signal, individual properties, all the attributes down to the photos to understand what are your unique places worth, right? That's the challenge. Now, what I will be the first to tell you, Will. So Wheelhouse, just for blunt numbers, we analyze 3 million listings per night. We've done so for 6 years. That's more than 10 billion data points per night. We stored all that data. We get data from multiple channels and partnerships. We've had 50,000 linked properties. We've been able to run A/B tests against all those. And as Lyric, we were able to run the most controlled A/B test probably ever done in the short-term rental space on similar inventory, where we tested everything from cancellation policy by channel to, like, you name it. Right? Yeah. Literally, probably the most controlled A/B test ever done, truly, in the short-term rental space, that is. And so therefore, we have a huge amount of data. Data quantity isn't often the problem. It's the quality of data, and it's how you translate that data, and how do you kind of build a model and then measure the performance of that model or pricing engine to truly understand that you're creating value. So yes, Wheel has a lot of data. We have a very unique statistical approach to analyzing that data. We basically run probably one of the world's largest instances of what's known as a survival model. Mm-hmm. And a survival model is a different approach to pricing than traditional hotel revenue management. It's a predictive model that allows us to say, well, your home either books or doesn't book in the short-term rental space. You're either 100% booked, and as soon as you're booked, you can't make any more money. Or if you don't sell, you make $0. And that is different than portfolio management that is done in the hotel space.
Yeah, so I was just going to ask.
Yeah. So yeah. Now I know this is a very long-winded answer, but really what we're going from here is from the data that you have to the statistical approach that you take from it, and then what we're going to do next. So the statistical approach, we published all of our research on our blog, usewheelhouse.com/blog. You can go read. It's a 30-minute read, according to Medium, of like how every unique component of this pricing engine works, but we publicize all of it, right?
Yeah.
So we're fine sharing it with the world. But lastly, what we need to do better despite all this, because for too long, the revenue management space has said, let us tell you about all the data we have and let us tell you how good we are. And the revenue management space has done a poor job, and this is with hotels too, of showing people the data, allowing them to export and audit the data, allow them to go back and say, well, what did Wheelhouse tell me to do 2 months ago or 3 months ago? What did they tell me to do last week? And were they right or wrong? And how accurate were they? That is the change that we get to kind of move into, because we have told people about kind of like, I do believe we're very, very good at pricing. I believe our pricing engines are the best in the short-term rental space. I know we've invested a huge amount of time and care in it, but it's really my word versus, you know, and that's not good enough. So this year, 2021, one of the things that will be fundamentally different is we'll go from telling people about the data we're using, how we're using it, et cetera, to truly showing them, empowering them to do their own changes in a new and novel way.
Something that we talk about on the show quite often has been transparency. And we've always been focusing on the guest, the transparency on the experience and cleaning procedures and, you know, how are we handling linens and da, 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 like all these things. But never have I ever heard someone say that they're going to be transparent with showing data to the way you just described it. Is that why you guys, like, what's driving that for you?
When we like for brass tacks, when we lost Lyric as our operating co back in March of last year, right? Mm-hmm. Lyric is the operating company we built on top of Wheelhouse. We love the brand we were building. It's all about connection and truly connecting people to the communities they travel to. But when we thought it was going to be pretty hard to survive COVID, at least with operating exposure, we doubled down and we took a look at the various softwares that we had built, and we said, well, where is the most likely place we can make a real impact in 2021? And the place where we thought we could make an impact was bringing a new professional version of Wheelhouse to market as part one. So kind of we ended up increasing the size of the team on Wheelhouse pretty dramatically. But part two was we are and will continue to be on a mission to change the revenue management space in a way that candidly, if we've been 100% focused on it for the last 6 years, we hopefully would have already done. But that is to truly make this space as empowering, to make the data sets as transparent as they need to be for people to build their own unique businesses. Yeah. So we came out of 2020 and 2021 thinking two things as a team. One is we're very excited to help other entrepreneurs build their business and recover from COVID. And even if you're doing great, you know, if 2020 was a great year because you're a drive-to destination, well, let's make 2021 even better. Mm-hmm. Right? 100%. No reason to sit on our laurels. That's part one. And part two was we as a team just thought it would be kind of honor the work of our other teammates if we took the gut punch of losing Lyric, the operating co, and built back and showed other entrepreneurs that, like, yeah, you can take a tough punch and build back. So we've taken a lot of the teammates I'm privileged enough to work with to this day, we take a lot of pride in working our tails off to make sure that we not only are powering other entrepreneurs in this space, but that we're doing justice to the people who put in a huge amount of time with us building Lyric alongside us. And Wheelhouse Pro, the thing we launched today, is really the first big launch of about three that will come up in the next 3 months here, that will showcase kind of the work that we've done.
That's awesome. That's so super inspirational. Like, just, yeah, all in through. I almost got teary eyed.
Oh, thanks, bud.
Yeah.
We love what we do.
I could hear it and I could see it. And like obviously podcast listeners aren't watching you, but we're hearing it and I can really like, it does carry through in what you're saying. So I love that. You've been mentioning, you know, short-term rental sector. And we're talking about dynamic pricing. And once you're booked for a vacation rental, you're 100% occupied. There's no more making more money, but if you don't get booked, you're making $0. So why is dynamic pricing, I know the answer to this, but why is dynamic pricing different in the short-term rental space compared to hotels and airlines? Because you kind of just gave it up, but, and I just did too in the asking of this question, but in the overall sense, why is it so important then, if that's the actual case of your book?
Yeah.
You're making money, you're not booked, you're not making money.
Yeah. Well, so think about that. There's so many interesting things about this question, right? So basically what you just described is predicting binary outcomes, right? Uh-huh. You're a zero or you're a one. You're booked or you're available. And as soon as you're booked, you can't sell for a dollar more and you can't sell on any other channel either, right? So it's a strange thing where wheelhouse and our statistical approach, the reason you can't take a regression model and just slap it onto category as hotels have usually done is because, again, that kind of binary outcome is so important to get right that you need a totally new way to predict it. And the reality is that when we set a pricing signal, what Wheelhouse is designed to do is to maximize your outcome in the most number of scenarios, right? So we actually don't take the riskiest path. Mm. We don't have people who say, you know, take the most risk. Like, I didn't turn on Wheelhouse and automate it for you to take the most risk. Just like if you're going to give your money to a portfolio manager, you want to know what the risk profile is. And the thing is, it's like, we're going to maximize your outcome in the most scenarios. Doesn't mean you can't come in and dial up risk or dial down risk, however you want. But we're going to kind of maximize all these different individual binary outcomes of you're either booked or you don't book at all, and try to maximize basically the revenue associated with that. So it's really hard. And again, it's a slightly different statistical approach. Now, different from hotels. Hotels use their portfolio to pace, right? Often, right? So they're looking at how are they and other people near them, like what percentage booked are they X number of days out? And usually pre-COVID, they were able to say, well, you know, 50 days out, we really want to be 50% booked and we want X amount to come from, you know, channel A, and we want Y amount to come from channel B, right? Whatever it may be. Transient, et cetera. And in the short-term rental space, you don't have that luxury, and you don't really have that luxury unless you're one of the few urban professional operators that exist today who have the same supply, mm-hmm. right? So therefore, we have literally millions of people who are selling individual assets that they are trying to maximize revenue on, and they have to take a fundamentally new, again, approach to how do they price it. And the most important thing is, we need to figure out how to pace you, not off your place that once it goes, it's gone, but off of your entire market and your entire competitive set. So we've kind of created a new way to pace supply. And I guess this is winding into a little bit of a long-winded answer, Will, and I don't know if I'm 100% getting to your question yet, but there are so many ways that hotel dynamic pricing is different than short-term rental. So let's just, the short and sweet of it is totally different statistical approaches, part one. Part two is, in the hotel space, they're looking at a much smaller number of variables. So, you know, hotels are usually looking at a couple competitors, for example, call it four or five competitors. Mm-hmm. In the short-term rental space, your comp set's going to be up to 100 plus listings. In the short-term rental space, you are competing against, if you're a two bedroom, you might be competing against one bedroom and four bedrooms. We need to pace you against all of those. And again, since the consumer looks different in the short-term rental space, people buying for a particular, you know, that adventure they had in mind, we need to know who's buying your place, and therefore, like, how does your comp set shift over a week or over a year? So there's almost a lot more complexity to short-term rental management. What I like to say is 2021 is the year that hotels start to learn revenue management from short-term rentals, as opposed to vice versa. Because everything I just described there, whether it's the ability to have a model that can look at, you know, the 25 different attributes associated with a home and understand the unique value of each of them, or whether it's pacing against a market, which is known as a reactive model, looking at every single booking to translate it into information about how to price. Those are strengths of Wheelhouse that we have been fine tuning for 6 years, that holy smokes, as hotels start to say, we need to borrow some of the merchandising patterns from short-term rentals, or we need to borrow some of the reactive modeling from short-term rentals. I think Wheelhouse is extremely well positioned to help there.
I love that, because it, like you said earlier in the episode, is because our inventory is so unique that we have to compare with all inventory. You can't just be a two bedroom and two bath comparing against two bedroom, two baths. You're comparing against the ones, the studios, the threes, maybe even a five. And versus hotels, like I think of, like when I was in Seaside, Oregon, it was, okay, we were comparing our two bedroom suites to everybody else's two bedrooms and mm-hmm. comparing our one bedrooms to everybody else's one bedrooms, and or at least to the properties that met our standards of services and whatnot. But that's literally a room type. You're not comparing a whole property type, right. Which again, short-term rentals is, I found it so unique, especially being in both worlds, is that I think, and granted, like I have a lot of hotel people that listen to this podcast. So if they hear me on this right now, mm-hmm. I'm not, you know, crapping on hotel revenue management. I'm not crapping on hotels in general. Like, I think we all have great products, but this is one thing that I think short-term rentals really can take pride in, is that we are so different in a lot of ways, but we still belong at the seat of hospitality, at the table of hospitality. Mm-hmm. And so I think that what you're describing is just like super cool, because yeah, it becomes like a game in my sense, like in my head, when I'm putting up a new property and let's say it's a two bedroom, mm-hmm. two bath, whatever. I'm comparing against everybody. I'm not just going, I like this one. This one looks like mine. This one looks like mine. This one looks like mine. Cause none of them are going to fit that profile, and it becomes right. a game. And, right. So I think that's just super, yeah, super exciting. And what you described was pretty much perfect.
Well, to the hotel folks who are listening too, right? I mean, there's an opportunity to be working together here, right? There's an opportunity to look at the best performing properties near your whatever property you're managing today, and say, well, what are they doing well? Mm-hmm. What's different? What are they highlighting in their photographs? Because think about when you're looking at AB or kind of Airbnb and all the listings, it's a highly iterative environment, meaning there's always new Airbnbs popping up. There's always new kind of high performers emerging. So you can go look at those high performers now and say, well, what should we be borrowing? What's the narrative we should be selling? Right. So there's kind of an opportunity to learn. And of course, you know, hotels, I think, you know, if you started to look at that short-term rental comp set, it's not like you'd ever ignore it again. Right. Yeah. And I think for what people need to realize in the hotel world post COVID is there are many professional operators in the short-term rental space who stumbled during COVID. There are a huge number of us who had lease exposure, who were designed for urban corporate travel, who did not or might not survive COVID, right? That's a pretty exposed place to be. However, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that the largest REITs, the largest private equity shops, and other folks have said, you all have proven beyond a doubt that this category is for real. Yeah. And major capital is going to come into this category. Oh, so yeah. Whatever we see today, of course we see in drive to destinations, the demand, but there is more capital coming. So 2021 has to be the year you pay attention to this. Mm-hmm. And like there are people who can help, you know, yes, we have software, but we're just friendly folks, right? We're going to collaborate with you. If we can be helpful in any ways, like please reach out to us. But it's the professionalization of the category is only going to accelerate. We've seen it in the IPO of Airbnb and the, you know, post IPO valuation was north of $100 billion on the rumors of, you know, is Vrbo going to spin out because they're so darn valuable that maybe it's a smart move, right? So there's all this interesting stuff happening. You see these large traditional, everyone, you know, REITs and others are saying it's time to have a presence in the quote unquote short-term rental space. And really what that means is usually distributed single family homes or mm-hmm. multifamily buildings that might be right next door to you. So yeah. It's really important for people to lean in and learn a little bit more here.
Couldn't agree more. You said it perfectly. I'm pretty much just going to use that for future things forever and ever and ever. For the listeners, so I like to jump back in just briefly on the dynamic pricing side of things. When you have a dynamic pricing tool like a Wheelhouse, there's a lot of, again, we've already described, there's a lot of variables. There's a lot of, okay, well, it could be this, it could be that, it could be that, there's like 20 different things. And it's like, but then you set your price here, whether it's a benchmark, etc. So how does a dynamic pricing tool get used to really actually make profit instead of just getting occupancy? What's the difference? Because I can get occupied, but mm-hmm. am I actually making money?
So great question. So the more often the problem we run into in the short-term rental space is people are dramatically underpriced, right? And they actually think plenty of folks who've been in the game a long time will say like, well, if I haven't sold 30 days out, there's no way I'm going to get a booking. And we'll say, okay, well, we're looking at the data and 70% of the bookings are occurring in your market in the last 30 days. So are you sure about that? Or maybe have you sold for so long, so early that, you know, the other 70% of the world that was looking to book a place didn't even see your home,
Yeah.
Right. So more often than not, because again, because people have lacked the time, skills, sometimes the data, sometimes permission, and sometimes the risk appetite to be able to price their homes more aggressively. More often we see places that are have decent occupancy, but are underpriced. So the way dynamic pricing can help anyone is basically we're either going to, if you have high occupancy, very likely that's an opportunity to drive what's known as your ADR or your average daily rate. Right. And so if you go read our reviews on Wheelhouse, which are on Capterra and Trustpilot and other things like that, it is not unusual for people to say, I literally doubled my revenue.
Mm.
Now, the other cool thing about revenue management, the reason it's a great thing to do is even if you bumped revenue by 5%, it's 5% that goes straight to your bottom line because it costs you essentially nothing.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. You're selling the same room. So it's almost a pure pass-through to the bottom line, meaning revenue management, if you are driving your revenue up 50%, it's almost a pass-through of 50% to your bottom line. Right. The cost of a pricing tool like Wheelhouse, there's kind of two ways to pay for it, flat fee or a transaction rate, but we're going to be de minimis against the upside of what you're going to earn. So if you happen to be driving really high ADR, but your occupancy is low, we're just going to help you find the right balance. But again, like the scenario where anyone is pricing perfectly, Wheelhouse included, doesn't exist, right? There's new demand signals that come in every single day. So whatever you priced yesterday at is by today inaccurate if you want to stay up with demand, right? So dynamic pricing not only figures out the right price for your place on every given night, it does so every given night in an automated fashion. So you're always, always up to speed. And every single new booking tells us more about what your place is worth. If you were always selling for an average price of 250 and we bumped you to 350 and we got you a booking, does that mean we're going to peak you out at 350? No, we're going to experiment higher, right? So that's the type of thing where, and if we see your neighbors booking at 380 and yet you're booking first, okay, well, we know that when your place versus your neighbor's place was available, they booked you at a particular price. That is a signal, instant signal of the market. The market has told us how to value your home. So dynamic pricing can make you more money by maximizing overall revenue. We'll do so by moving the levers of ADR or occupancy. And we'll do so on a consistent basis by updating every single night based on every single booking we see near you so that you're always up to date.
Man, I love this. This is such a fun episode. Well, Andrew, I think you just brought tons of value to the overall audience. People that listen to every week and get excited, and whenever they see that subscribed notification come through on Apple Podcasts saying there's a new episode, or they come back after, you know, catching up on the hundreds of episodes that are already out. This is such a good value piece. And I want to know for the audience that is listening either right away, or maybe even just get to this episode as Wheelhouse is gaining more traction and you guys are getting really deep into the short-term rental market as we are launching your pro today. What are you most excited for the year to come from what you've learned in 2020 and the beginning of 2021?
The theme of the product, which is transparency, is the theme of our organization. And what I'm most excited about is as you can tell, I'm just so excited and honored by the opportunity to bring to empower people this year. Yeah. Right. I've heard so many amazing stories. I've lived through kind of tough stories of like what happens, you know, what can happen to a business. And my goal is to make sure that businesses are well set up. Wheelhouse's long-term success is predicated on the industry having a strong recovery. Mm-hmm. That is the most exciting thing for us. So I guess I think about being a part of the build back in 2021. That's extremely exciting to me. I think about my lessons learned of continuing to like push towards being a more transparent, more communicative leader in difficult times. You learn some tough lessons around that stuff. Yeah. So, you know, I'm not gonna lie, even though 2020 was a tough year, it was a year packed with lessons. Every veteran kind of CEO and entrepreneur I knew actually said, congratulations for going through a downturn finally. Because for 10 years in Silicon Valley, it's been pretty good. Yeah. So congratulations on going through a downturn. Hope you learn a lot and stay on the field.
Yeah.
That's the message. And that's the message I would pass on to everyone too. I hope you learned a lot and stay on the field because 2021 is going to be a build back and we're going to be here to help.
I love that. Yeah, I remember my first day as an entrepreneur was December 28th, 2019, full-time, quit my day job everything, and then barely made it 3 months and we hit a downturn. But dude, it's been I couldn't be more thankful for it. And so I couldn't be more, it literally would not in the sense of like the bad part. Obviously there's a lot of bad. It was a pandemic, for goodness sake. So no good comes from that. But other than that, the moments that have led to where we are today, you know, being able to meet you and getting to meet a bunch of other great people remotely, safely, but then also continue doing what we love. I think this is something that's so important that I don't know. It's just, it gives me a lot of excitement, and like, I kind of like lose words for it when you get to talk with people like yourself and all the other guests that have been on the podcast and soon to be on the podcast. Well, it just shows that the industry really is pushing forward. And I think we, like you said, we've all learned a lot, and I'm excited to keep seeing us all in the field again.
So, yeah. And a lot of new folks are coming in.
I love it.
A lot of new folks are coming in. That's what, I guess that's the other fun discovery, which is there are communities popping up, kind of all over online, particularly Clubhouse and other places where there are people sharing everything they're learning in their markets to help others. And it is really cool. It's pretty unique. There aren't many categories like it, but certainly really fun to see right now.
Oh, I love it. Well, obviously all my listeners know I'm going to put everything in the show notes of where to find you, how to get on Wheelhouse, your blog that shows all the transparency that you're talking about, all this stuff. But just for the sake of, you know, the sake of saying it, where can people find you? Where can people get to this amazing access of data and tools to use?
Yeah. So usewheelhouse.com, that, you know, basic www.usewheelhouse.com is the best place to go. What I'll say is that the market reports that we talked about bringing to the platform, those are free. Those are free right now. Right? That's going to be free at least through Q2, probably longer, to be honest, just so people can understand how the market's evolving. You can sign up for a free account with Wheelhouse, right? Sign up for a free account. We'll get you a market report. You can look at your properties and see how we would price them without paying a thing, right? So usewheelhouse.com is the easiest place to go. And we have 24/7 chat, and we have educational content there to learn a whole lot more. Of course, you can find or follow us on all sorts of social media. We're easy to find. We're most active on Twitter. I know it's a little professional and boring, but we're really active on LinkedIn.
I love
it. Kind of active on Facebook, and we're trying to be active on YouTube and Instagram, but really it's Twitter and LinkedIn is where you're going to find us talking to folks all day. But yeah, come to our website or reach out to us at hello@usewheelhouse.com. We'd love to say hello and obviously learn more about your business and see if we can help.
For sure. And I'll put everything, like I said, in the show notes. But if anybody listening is like, hey, Will, can you make me an introduction, or can you give me any type of tools, I'm in. I love to help everyone find and discover Wheelhouse. So go ahead and do that as well. You can find us in the club with bottles full of bub. Just kidding. At Clubhouse. But just kidding. That's a horrible joke. I can't believe I just did that. But
it's true. True-ish. Yeah.
You can find us in Clubhouse as well. We're doing lots of cool rooms, and I'm going to drop this little bomb here. I wasn't planning on doing it for myself or for my audience, but there's another show concept coming out on the Slick Talk network here. And so Andrew will be involved. So if you really like this episode, stay tuned, because we're going to have a fun little exciting give back, and no pun intended. But Andrew, my friend, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been a pleasure to talk with you and geek out for a little bit. And then of course, hear the passion and love that you have for the industry. It's pretty inspiring. I can't wait to continue to see what you guys do. So thanks for being on the show.
Thanks so much. Great hosting. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening. We love your support and want to provide the best we can to all our listeners. So please find us online, social media, and on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and Google Podcast.
What's up, everybody? If you've gotten this far into the episode of Slick Talk, the Hospitality Podcast, then you are amazing, and thank you so much for tuning in. We want to send you two places really quickly. If you can, check out the show notes and click the hospitality.fm link. Check out all of our other shows on the podcast network. And don't forget, if you have someone that you want to hear on the podcast, then fill out the guest fill out form so that way we can get them on the show. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy another episode of Slick Talk, the Hospitality Podcast.